Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is our epistle reading from the book of Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Last week I talked about faith and obedience. Faith in Jesus is a gift from God, and so is obedience. It is a gift from God that you love Him and keep His commandments. The person that doesn't have faith in Jesus Christ cannot keep the commandments of God, not in a way that pleases God. So obedience is a fruit of your God-given faith, and it is connected to love. To love God is to obey God. Now that word love is a scary thing. God calls us to love Him with our whole being. And not just on Sundays, but every moment of our lives, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. You are never done loving. Love always demands more, insists on more, needs more. Just ask parents or anyone who's caring for an elderly loved one. The need for love is never ending. Love is scary. Because when we look at God's commandments to love, we are confronted by God Himself. For God is love. Jesus said, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." To be perfect as God is perfect is to love as God loves. For God is love. And love is the fulfillment of God's law. So how are you doing in the love department? And I'm not talking about the Valentine's Day kind of love, all romantic and emotional. I'm talking about God and neighbor. I'm talking about your Christian life. Does your love look like Christ's love? Or does it look more like the world's definition of love, which is to love myself above all things? Well, one thing is for certain, we may try to hide our sinful thoughts and desires deep within a veneer of piety, but the Word of God reveals what's going on in our hearts and our minds. The writer of the Hebrews says in our text, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." As you heard in today's readings, the focus of Sexagesima is on the Word of God. So let's take a few moments to meditate upon the nature of God's Word. Well, first and foremost, the Bible is God's Word. It is God's self-revelation. It is God Himself who inspired the holy writers to write the words that God directed them to write. So when you hear the Word of God, you are hearing the voice of God, teaching you everything that God wants you to know about Himself, about yourselves, about Christ and salvation. Second, the Word of God is clear. We have a big word for that in theology. We call it perspicuity. Can you say it with me? Perspicuity. I have trouble saying it myself. Well, it simply means that God's Word is easy to understand because God has put His thoughts into human language. In the Garden of Eden, the first thing the devil attacked was the clarity of God's Word when he asked Eve, "Did God really say?" The goal of the devil was to muddy the clear words of God. "You shall not eat of the tree in the midst of the garden." Pretty clear. But today there is so much division in Christendom because people attack or deny that God speaks clearly in His Word. But how much more clearly could Jesus say, "This is my body, this is my blood"? But we seem to have a problem with the clarity of God's Word. Third, God's Word is true. It is infallible, meaning not only is the Word of God always true, but the Word of God can never be wrong. You see, God is righteous and perfect, and He cannot lie. and neither can His Word. Fourth, the Word of God is sufficient. That means that everything you need to know about God and your salvation is revealed in Holy Scripture. You don't need a new work or a new revelation or the edicts of the papacy to complete your salvation. Everything you need to know to get into heaven and enjoy your Sabbath rest with God is revealed right there in the Word of God. Fifth, the Word of God is efficacious, meaning it does what God wants it to do. Most human talk is descriptive. A doctor can tell you about your disease, but he cannot tell it to go away. But God's Word is creative. God says, let there be light, and there is light. God says to the storm, peace be still, and there is peace and stillness. So God's Word has power and authority because it is God's Word. Thus our Old Testament text. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. So when God says, for Christ's sake, your sins are forgiven, because God's Word has power and authority over sin, your sins are gone as far as the east is from the west. And finally, sixth, there is no salvation apart from the Word of God. The writer to the Hebrews writes, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from His works as God did from His. God has given the world His Word and Jesus the Word made flesh for your salvation, so you can rest from your labors as God rested from His on the seventh day. Only through God's Word is one able to enter your Sabbath rest. Only through God's Word are you able to have eternal life with God and the world to come. Apart from the Word of God, the gospel remains a mystery hidden in God's heart. But God has graciously given us His Word so we may know Jesus and believe in Him and live with Him forever. But because the Word of God is God's inspired Word, because it is clear, infallible, sufficient, effective, and because it is the only way through which a man can believe in Jesus and be saved, it presents a big problem for sinners. The Word of God shows us what righteousness, love, truth, and goodness are in God's sight. And then it roots out and exposes our own unrighteousness, our evil, our lack of love, our failure to be the people that God wants us to be. We may think we're pretty good at loving and obeying, but God sees the heart. He sees what dwells there. And He shows us what He sees through His Word. And that is a problem for sinners. Think about the Apostle Paul. Before his conversion, he had no idea that his form of love was actually a product of a sinful heart. A heart filled with hatred. In his zeal for Judaism, he thought that he was doing God's will and persecuting the Christian church, when actually he was acting as an enemy of God. After his conversion, Paul became fully aware of two things: God's love for sinners in Christ Jesus, and his own utter sinfulness before God. Now that's a terrifying thought, when you give it some thought. To know the love of God in Christ Jesus for sinners is also to know that you are in fact a sinner who needs Christ. No wonder people don't want to repent. They don't want to hear what God has to say. They're afraid of what God will reveal in their own hearts. And they don't want to be robbed of the delusion that they aren't so bad that they can save themselves. So what are some of the user responses to God's Word. First, we can simply ignore the Word of God or attack it as mere human opinion. Now, that works for a lot of people. They just live however they please. And when the Word of God afflicts their conscience, they either ignore it or they attack it and then dismiss it. But what are the temporal and eternal consequences of ignoring God's call to repent? Well, the writer to the Hebrews says, "And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." People who think that they can hide from God remind me of the ostrich that sticks its head in the sand, thinking that it's hidden from danger. Actually, ostriches don't stick their head in the sand. When they sense danger, they just flop down and lay their heads and necks flat on the ground, thinking that they are safe. But they're not. They're not hidden. No one can hide from God's Word. God just as readily speaks a word of condemnation to the hard-hearted as he speaks a word of blessing and forgiveness to the repentant. To ignore the Word of God is to forfeit your Sabbath rest. To ignore the Word of God so you can live in unrighteousness is to forfeit your Sabbath rest. Well, another approach when we are confronted by the problem of the Word of God is to change those parts of the Word of God that we don't like. I'm reminded of what the pastor who confirmed me said about himself when he was a child. When he was angry at one of his sisters and they were praying the Lord's Prayer before bed, he would cough his way through the part that said, "As we forgive those who sin against us." Well, he's changing the Word of God so he doesn't have to forgive his sister. By changing the Word of God, we attempt to make the law easier to keep. Or we try to make God's Word more acceptable to a sinful culture so we can get along with the world around us. Or we redefine love to be whatever makes me happy. And this is all done so that we don't have to repent and turn from our unrighteous ways. Well, that works for a lot of people, too. They hop from church to church until they find one that suits their version of God or their version of love and obedience, all the while refusing to truly repent. But what are the eternal and temporal consequences of that? Well, the more you change the Word of God, the more it becomes the Word of man. And the Word of man is not efficacious. In other words, the Word of man has no power to save. In fact, it does just the opposite. The Word of man condemns as it leads you away from the Word of God. To change the Word of God so you can live in unrighteousness is to forfeit your Sabbath rest. So yes, the Word of God reveals the intentions of our heart. Our sin and our self-love, our disobedience and rebellion. The Word of God strips us bare before God. We're naked. We have no place to hide. And that is a problem for the sinner. But the Word of God also reveals the intentions of God's heart. By nature, when we are confronted with God, we think that God is out to get us. But the Word of God reveals that God is love. It is God who creates. It is God who protects. It is God who provides. Holy Scripture reveals this God, the God who loves the human race, the God who gave his only begotten Son into death on the cross as a substitute for sinners. That's the God that our hearts could never figure out on their own. We are so blinded by sin and by Satan. But the Word of God reveals the God who has a heart for sinners. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord through the prophet Jeremiah. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." God wants to give you a Sabbath rest with him eternally. And he reveals his heart of love through his Word. Because God is a God of love and grace and mercy, Because God desires your salvation, not your condemnation. Because God put all your sins on His Son on the cross so you can be forgiven and live with Him forever. The proper response to the Word of God is joy. Not the temporary joy that you heard in today's gospel reading, as those who initially hear the Word of God respond with joy and then later fall away because they would rather have the pleasures of life than life with God. But joy that comes from repentance. An everlasting joy. For it is a gracious thing that God speaks to us in His Word, even if that word is a word of condemnation. For it is a gracious thing that God reveals your sins. For what? So think about this. If you didn't know you were a sinner, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't need Jesus. You would be lost in the darkness of sin. So it is a good thing that God speaks even a word of law to us. Because that's how He prepares our hearts to receive the gospel. To be good soil that responds to God's gift of faith with abundant joy and good works. So when you hear the Word of God, when that Word shows you your sins, respond with repentance. Confess your sins and your failures to love as God wants you to love. And believe what God says in His Word. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a beautiful word from the Word of God. So yes, the law commands us to love. And that work of love is never done. It is never satisfied. And our sinful natures constantly get in the way of our ability to love. As God wants us to love. So there is God's law constantly accusing us of falling short of God's standard. But in Christ, the law is complete. It is perfected. It is done. The work of love is done in Christ, as Christ has fulfilled the law for us. And He imputes His righteousness to us through faith in Him. So when it comes to love, the love that you need to enjoy your Sabbath rest with God is accomplished for you on the cross. It is given to you in Jesus through His Word and Sacrament, and it is performed through you by the Holy Spirit. If you doubt or wonder about your love and how good of a Christian you may be, look to the cross of Jesus and there know the love of God. The love of God that fills you up and pours out from you, as Jesus told the woman of the well, like springs of living water. Apart from God's Word, you would never know this love. Apart from God's Word, you would not know forgiveness and there would be no life with God. Because apart from God's Word, there is no Christ. Yes, God's Word is like a surgeon's scalpel that cuts quickly to reveal the problem of sin and disobedience in our lives. But it does that so that we can see and repent. But God's Word also pours into your heart the medicine of eternal life. It reveals your Savior who speaks to you a word that binds up your wounds and washes away your sins. It is this word that makes you a fruitful crop for the Lord, just as Jesus said. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. The Word of God is a problem for sinners, but to all who believe, it is the power of God for salvation. And it is the power of God to give you love that you may also love. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.